Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
42 days. 42 days and for what? 42 for what? Actually, 43 days to be precise now. But now the federal government shutdown is officially over. After the House took action yesterday, of course, the real key vote came earlier this week when a handful of Senate Democrats finally voted with Senate Republicans to end the federal government shutdown and end all of the craziness going on in air traffic control, disrupting flights all across the country. 42 days. For what? I forgot who I was listening to yesterday, but they asked that very question. 42 days for what? Democrats shut down the government for 42. Well, now officially 43 days. And for what? Either way, the federal government shutdown is now officially over. President Trump signing the temporary funding bill into law late Wednesday night after the U.S. House of Representatives approved the measure. They had been waiting on the U.S. Senate, where a handful of Senate Democrats finally voted with Republicans to reopen the federal government. Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy consistently voted to keep the government open. Montana's representatives Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing likewise voted to open the government yesterday. Congressman Zinke saying, quote, "Shutdowns are bad for America and bad for Montana. I voted to prevent this shutdown in September, and I gladly voted to end it today. This package is a good bipartisan solution, and I fought to make sure it includes real wins for our state, from funding fire departments in Ronan and Powell County to providing certainty for rural communities that depend on reliable government services. Congress has come together, and I urge the president to sign this bill so we can keep our government open and get back to working for the American people." And, of course, the president did sign that legislation last night. I've got a photograph and this full story on our Montana Talks website right now. I woke up too early, even earlier than I normally wake up too early, and I thought, okay, let's get the story on the website now. Let's get it over with. Let's get that part of the day job done, at least one of the stories anyway. Congressman Troy Downing saying this: after more than 42 days, Congress has finally reopened the government with the Senate's amendments to our clean CR passed. Americans across the country who have been deprived of nutritional assistance, critical programs, or their paychecks will no longer face the hardship and uncertainty brought on by this shutdown. This is a good thing. If we want to prevent something like this from happening in the future, we cannot forget how we got here. Democrats voted for more than 6 weeks. That's 42 days or 1,008 hours to keep our government closed while Americans suffered. Now, back to Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western Congressional District. He also released a list of the Montana wins that he sees in this bill in particular. So we've got a full list of those, like you say, from Ronan to Powell County and more. Some military construction measures as well. It's all spelled out. It's all listed out right there on our Montana Talks website right now. All right, lots to talk about. Plus, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with mild high temperatures approaching the mid-60s for Bozeman and could even touch that 70 mark for Billings. Then for tonight, under increasing cloud cover, overnight lows in the mid-40s for Bozeman, lower 50s for Billings, with a chance for some rain for Bozeman Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Securing America.
On Wednesday, the Department of Justice announced the formation of a new Scam Center strike force to fight scams run by Chinese organized crime, which use messaging platforms to get Americans to invest in fake crypto platforms. Washington, D.C. U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro says that makes it
both a national security problem and a homeland security problem.
She says the new task force has already seized $400 million. The FBI's Gregory Hebe adds several billion was lost by victims in 2024.
Everyone is a target. and anyone can fall victim.
The Secret Service's Keo Dolan says the scams are not slowing down.
During the 2025 fiscal year alone, the U.S. Secret Service has responded to approximately 3,000 victims.
Piro advises that people learn more about online currency in order to protect themselves. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad we had a couple more minutes to go with Wednesday's Montana Talks. We had the Joker from X in the house with us. We played that clip of President Trump in the Oval Office spraying the Trump cologne for the Syrian president. And then we got to joking about, well, if Hunter Biden was there, he would have been trying to get the Syrian president to take a whiff of something else. And anyway, that was Wednesday. What are we going to talk about Thursday? Why don't you tell us? We'll have the phone lines open for you with Montana Talks.
This is where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got to do a bit of a random start here on this now Thursday morning. Can't believe it's already Thursday. My goodness, it's been a very fast-moving week. Especially after our show from Missoula for Veterans Day here. This is what I was thinking for the random start here this morning. I was thinking about playing a song by Gordon Lightfoot. I thought about playing this one for our friend Nancy in Roundup. Earlier this, was it Monday, I think, when Nancy called in and talked about, one of the things she mentioned was the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and once she put that on our radar, I guess I had spotted another story later in the week where they were talking more in depth about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald and how back then we didn't have as good of weather forecasting as we do in today's day and age, and how that was the main factor in the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. But 50 years ago, so it was before I was even born. But then I remembered, that's right, there was a great Gordon Lightfoot song that was actually written after he heard the news about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's actually, I believe, the name of the song. Anyway, I was posting stories on our Montana Talks website earlier this morning from across the state, and then some of our music station stuff that's always kind of interesting as well. And that's where I saw this story about how, Gordon Lightfoot did this song in tribute of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Ago, the SS Edmund Fitzgerald sinks and inspires a Gordon Lightfoot hit for those that live or have lived around the American Great Lakes region, as our friend Nancy in Roundup did. The story of the SS Edmund Fitzgerald is likely familiar. It was to date the largest ship to ever sink in those waters, claiming the lives of 29 crew members whose bodies were never recovered. That was back on the afternoon of November 9th, 1975. The boat set sail from Superior, Wisconsin. It And let's see, looks like it was, I see we got a phone call coming in here, but yeah, looks like it was coming, set sail in 1975. It was bound for a steel plant on Zug Island near Detroit, Michigan. Anyway, I see Nancy and Roundup back on the phones with us here. Nancy, I wish I had remembered that song when you called in earlier in the week. That would have been great to play it right as you were talking about it.
Yeah, and, well, I get emotional about it because, you know, I love the Great Lakes, and I applied to be a lighthouse keeper at one time at that Whitefish Point Lighthouse, which is at the extreme end of Lake Superior, and that's where the ship went down. The Fitzgerald rests under 557 feet of water, and the bodies are preserved because it's extremely cold. Superior never freezes over. And the lake gets up to 1,332 feet deep. And so far, divers have found about 350 shipwrecks. But I just want to say that the crew, they had to know what was happening to them. And there were two other freighters there at the time. There was the Arthur that passed through the storm ahead of them. And they saw the Fitzgerald in trouble. It was twisting. The ship was twisting. And they knew that it was in trouble and it was taken on water. And I've heard that professional archaeological divers have discovered that rivers have come... They came loose. But I just want to say that the Fitzgerald was 729 feet long. It was the largest ship on the freighter on the Great Lakes at that time. Today, they make them 1,000 feet or more. But 29 men, and five of them were very young, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old. They were deckhands just starting out, you know.
Yeah, it was a fascinating story.
I grew up
story.
In the Great Lakes, and it's... Yeah, I love the Great Lakes. They are, and Lake Superior is known as the world's most temperamental lake and also the most dangerous one.
One other for you here real quick, Nancy, because we got to hit the hard break here. But, yeah, thanks for sharing that story earlier in the week because I was reading more about it. And it was just fascinating how one of the other ships survived because the captain took his own meticulous weather notes and he basically did his own weather forecast, which was more reliable than the actual official weather forecast. Another one for you, Nancy, on the Montana Talks website right now. I know you're a Ozzy Osbourne fan. You can hear the voicemail that Donald Trump left for Sharon Osbourne following Ozzy Osbourne's death. We've got that one on the Montana Talks website as well. Thought you might appreciate.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The government shutdown is a peculiar political phenomenon. Everyone pays attention to a shutdown when it happens, but who is responsible never seems to translate to the ballot box. That certainly wasn't the case after the shutdowns of 1995 and 1996. President Clinton won re-election. Republicans retained the House and the Senate. Republicans did not pay a political price after the shutdown in 2013 over Obamacare. And the shutdown truly had nothing to do with President Trump winning the White House in 2016. The lengthy shutdown of 2018-2019 was not determinative in 2020. Democrats won back control of the Senate, but again, that was not because of the shutdown. So what does this year's shutdown mean for the 2026 midterms? Hard to tell. Democrats will make the case that they argued on behalf of voters who saw their health care premiums skyrocket. Democrats actually connected the affordability of health insurance to the shutdown, even though the two are not related. So will this resonate with the voters? History says it won't, but we'll find out come next November. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Winner.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network. Good Thursday morning. I'm Lane Northland. Average fertilizer prices were mixed in early November, with four products up and four down from last month, according to DTN. Anhydrous showed the only significant increase, up 5% to $858 per ton. DAP rose to $926 a ton, MAP up $930, and potash was $489 a ton. Prices dipped slightly for urea, 10340, UAN 28, and UAN 32. On a per-pound nitrogen basis, urea averaged 65 cents per pound, while anhydrous was 52 cents a pound. The Nebraska Farm Bureau reports that rising input costs continue to strain producers. Fertilizer expenses for corn are forecast at $161.59 an acre in 2025, up nearly 45% since 2020, while soybean fertilizer costs have risen 60%. Another input cost that's rising, farm machinery parts have surged 69% since 2020, with some components tripling in price since 1982. Throw in land values, rental rates, and interest rates remaining high, it's all having an impact on the nation's farmers. We'll be right back.
Ranchers, it's truly one of the best Angus female sales of the entire year. Monday, November 17th, it's the Montana Angus Female Bonanza Sale at the Public Auction Yards in Billings, Montana. 3,500 bred Angus females sell. Now, these are the real Montana kind and will have as much quality and program as any set of females you'll find anywhere in America. Sale time is 11 a.m. Sale catalog, videos, and the sale itself can be viewed at northernlivestockvideo.com.
Montana Growers, this is Steve Sheffels. For 70 years, the Montana Grain Growers Association has stood shoulder to shoulder with producers, advocating for our farms, advancing education, and supporting vital research. I've attended 18 MGGA conventions, and this year I've pulled together my favorite parts from each one. Strong business sessions, marketing insight you can take home, and trusted weather analysis for the year ahead. Please join us in Great Falls December 2nd and 3rd. Registration is now open at mgga.org.
President Trump says it would be an economic disaster for the nation if the Supreme Court overturns his tariffs. Trump warned the Supreme Court against overturning his emergency tariffs in a case challenging his use of a 1977 law.
Trillions of dollars have been taken in or gotten in terms of investment from the tariffs. And so if that were ever reversed, it would be a disaster. It would be a national security problem for our country.
Farm groups have complained the tariffs have harmed top markets like China and elsewhere, but the president is betting his power to tariff will be upheld.
And nobody thinks it's going to be reversed. I think we had a very good court case. As you know, it's before the Supreme Court right now.
But the high court's six conservative justices seem mixed in their views, with at least two strongly questioning Trump's power to tariff, which is constitutionally a congressional power. Legal experts see the president's chances to prevail as 50-50. But the president argues his tariffs have worked to rebalance trade, especially with major trade partners like Europe.
They were not taking our agriculture. We were taking massive amounts of their. It was so unfair.
But the tariffs also invited retaliation, especially from China, forcing the president to broker a deal with Beijing that recouped some but not all lost U.S. soybean sales. But over the past 2 weeks, Chinese purchases of soybeans have appeared to stall after the U.S. touted a wide-ranging trade deal truce between the two countries. I'm Lane Northland, Western Ag Network.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, that was a ton of fun chatting with Nancy in Roundup. I kept chatting with her a little bit there during the break because I had to ask her, okay, Nancy, we talked briefly about Ozzy Osbourne because, you know, Nancy's called in and she has some great rock history, by the way, doesn't she? I feel like Nancy should start some American rock history podcast where she can talk about rock history, American history, news of the day stuff as well. That'd be a ton of fun to listen in on. That's why we enjoy it when she calls in on the program here. But yeah, I had to ask her, right, what is your favorite Ozzy Osbourne song, so I'll play it for you guys here in just a second. We were rocking out to it during the break off air, and then I was able to listen in on the Farm and Ranch report there. But yeah, well, I played that Gordon Lightfoot song talking about a 50-year anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now we got Scott in Bozeman on the phone lines. Scott, thanks for calling in. Yeah, you were in Minnesota at the time, as I understand it.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I'm usually calling with a lot deeper thoughts, but today just some warm memories. I grew up in Minnesota, and our family took a lot of vacations around. Went to Copper Mountain, Copper Mines in Michigan. We toured all around there, so I'm very, very familiar with it. Lake Superior, and Nancy does tell a lot of truths about that lake, and it is very volatile. And I'll tell you, when you're on it, you feel like you are on the ocean. Let me tell you, it is volatile. But when we were kids and toured around a lot, you know, my parents always had a saying, you know, a postcard's a better picture than we could ever take. So when we would go into gift shops, we would buy 2, 3, 4 postcards as quote-unquote pictures. And my mom sent me a box about 10 years ago of just memorabilia stuff. She says, I want to clean out my house. You should take some of these things. And I looked through it, and I have a postcard of the Edmund Fitzgerald in dock. So there's a few servicemen lined up facing the boat, and they're sort of taking the lines off, and no doubt probably ready to hit the lake. But yeah, I have a postcard of the Edmund Fitzgerald while it was still in dock. So
very interesting.
I've always held on to that. It's just kind of fun. It's kind of a fun thing to think about as I'm hearing about it this morning and all of Nancy's great history.
So, I just pulled up. I was trying to find the Daily Wire piece that I read the other day because, yeah, it was fascinating where apparently the official weather forecasts were predicting the storm would go one way. And so that's why the Edmund Fitzgerald took the path they did, is because they were told the worst part of the storm would be heading another direction. Instead, they went right into the eye of the storm, essentially. And you could hear the steel twisting, according to some of the accounts. It was just crazy. So that instead, they went straight into the storm with, you know, massive waves and hurricane force winds. But yeah, apparently
they did.
Apparently, a weathercaster by the name of Don Day. A lot of folks may know his name. Cowboy State Daily has a report. He was only 8 years old at the time, I think also living in the Great Lakes region. And he said how he can remember the radio on November 10th, 1975, when a meteorological phenomenon known as the Witch of November was broadcast over the radio airwaves. Hey, Scott, hold that thought for 60 seconds. I got another question for you. Stand by. I'll come back to you right after this Fox News update. For you, 406-294-0970, if you got something you want to talk about as well. Scott, were you able to it sounds like Scott was able to stick around with us there. I had another question I was going to ask you, but first, did you have something else you wanted to add, Scott?
Oh, just if Nancy calls back today or tomorrow, my details will be fuzzy, and I'm sure she knows the history, but when there was another ship close in the area that did get the call and said, again, my details are going to be a little off, but it was some ridiculous short amount of time, like 12 or 15 minutes we'll be there, or 9 minutes, and they got there and they wondered if they had the wrong coordinates because the ship had gone down that quickly. It was gone within minutes.
Oh, wow. So somebody sailed to the same location. Yeah. Yeah, the account that I read was saying how one of the other ships did not sail that direction because the captain was doing his own weather forecast, and actually his weather forecast was more accurate than the official government forecast at the time. And so that's why the other ship had survived that big storm. The other question I was going to...
That's also true.
Yeah, the other question I was going to throw at you was, because your voice sounds familiar, I was wondering if you were the guy who called in yesterday and asked how much the government shutdown has cost the country. But then I went and looked at our call list here, and that was somebody else. But I thought that was you who asked that question, because I think I have the answer to that question now, in part.
It was not me. I have called, but it was not me yesterday.
Well, what else is in your mind? What else is on your mind? What's been standing out to you in the news?
You know, I'll end with this, Aaron. Going through all these shutdowns over the years, I have a friend who works at the CDC, so he's very familiar with it. And he says it's painful sometimes when he gets these shutdowns. And he and I are kind of similar thinkers. And we've always thought that a lot of these shutdowns really just feel like a real, almost a 50-50 combination of Republicans and Democrats that each really have their agenda and really know how to twist their words and twist their opponent's words to make it seem Like, and it's either side's fault, but I got to tell you, this last shutdown just really, really looks to be like it's 99.9% on the Democrats, this one. It just doesn't feel right.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah, because there's really no way out of it. There's no way out of it for the Democrats. They own this one. And case in point, they're complaining that the shutdown is over. They're mad that the government shutdown was over. So I think it was Jimmy Failla yesterday who had a great tweet. Let me see if I can find it real quick before the break here. What did he say? Jimmy Failla said, let me find it. President, here we go.
But think about that. They're upset.
They're upset. So this, okay, I found the Jimmy Failla tweet here. He says, pro tip. If you're going to call it the Republican shutdown, you're not supposed to get mad that it's ending. Such a great summary. All right, Scott, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Great insight, especially hearing from, you know, what your friend who works for the federal government, the way he kind of looks at these things as well. Let's see. Quick break. I need to check messages on the Montana Talks app. So now's a great time to send a message on the app if you want to get one through as well, because I'm gonna be sure to check it during this news break right now.
We're coming so fast. I couldn't get.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to rock out a little bit here, then we're going to slow things down a little bit. I know it's a talk show, playing a little bit of music for you here this morning on the show on Montana Talks. Yeah, I played the Gordon Lightfoot song, you know, because I was reflecting on Nancy's phone call earlier in the week talking about the 50th anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And then I told you during the break, I told you about how on our Montana Talks website, we've got the Gordon Lightfoot song. We've got the story of the SS Edmund Fitzgerald. We've got some other, you know, pretty cool music-related stories. Dolly Parton, how is she recovering after her latest health setback? We've got a story about that. Kid Rock added a verse. You guys know that song by Cody Johnson, Till You Can't, the country song Till You Can't? Well, Kid Rock added it. Oh, we got that audio as well. Thanks for snagging that for us, Caden. Kid Rock added a little verse to that one. I'll find the right spot to cue it up where it's just before he adds that verse there. Got a story about that on our Montana Talks website. Apparently, a bunch of bagpipers shattered the world record playing an AC/DC song in Australia. A bunch of bagpipers were playing an AC/DC song in Australia and set a world record. But this is the one that I was telling Nancy in Roundup about, because Nancy's, you know, she's an old wood, well, not old, she's a Woodstock rocker from back in the day. And I know she's a big fan of Ozzy Osbourne, because when Ozzy Osbourne passed away, of course, she had to call in, give a tribute to him. But yeah, if you want to listen to Donald Trump's voicemail that he left for Sharon Osbourne following the death of Ozzy Osbourne, that story is on the Montana Talks website. But I asked Nancy, what is your favorite Ozzy Osbourne song? Here it is. Now, I think that was another Guitar Heroes song. Any of you 90s kids around that can tell me if that was also another anthem that you could play on Guitar Hero? I think I remember strumming to that one on Guitar Hero. That's about the only guitar I know how to play or have the ability to play. Anyway, yeah, there we go. I told you I was going to check the messages on the Montana Talks app. Let's check them out right now. Evan in Belt. Let's see, talking about the government shutdown or just the state of the Democrat Party in general. Evan says this, in our pursuit for freedom, some have lost their pursuit for intelligence. This would be my message for our current Democrat Party. Evan, send me another message. What inspired that in particular? What led to that thought in particular today? I know there could be many reasons why, but what specifically about the Democrat Party in the news right now led you to send that message? I'd be interested in hearing the backstory there on that one. But speaking of the government shutdown, oh, man, my printer has given me some issues here this morning, but this is hilarious. So I was trying to – usually I'll print up some of the latest posts on X and everything like that, but thankfully I've got it saved here. The White House last night, after President Trump signed the bill into law, effectively ending the government shutdown, effectively ending the Schumer shutdown. Do you guys remember the sombrero memes and all the sombrero videos where, you know, where President Trump was mocking congressional Democrat leaders for shutting down the federal government so that they could give your money for free health care for illegal aliens? And so in all these videos and all these memes, they put sombreros on Hakeem Jeffries. They put sombreros on Chuck Schumer. And then they said the sombrero memes will continue until the government reopens, until the government shutdown ends. And so anyway, the White House posted this on X last night. Rest in peace, Democrat shutdown. October 1, 2025 to November 12th, 2025. And I'm going to play the music that you will hear in the background of this video. And then you're just going to have to picture it since you can't see the video. You're just going to have to picture all the memes of Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of the Schumer shutdown crew and all of the imagery of all of their sombreros. We have to say goodbye now. Rest in peace to the sombrero memes because the Schumer shutdown is finally over. I will remember you. Do you see the sombreros?
Will you remember me?
The sombreros slowly being put back on the table.
Don't let your life pass you.
Really sad times. Sad times for so many of our Democrat friends right now. I would encourage many of you, reach out, do a buddy check with your Democrat friends. This is really tough times for them right now. They really wanted the federal government shutdown to continue, so they're going through a tough time right now. Be sure to reach out. Do a buddy check on your Democrat friends. That's right. Even better. I'm glad. I should have thought to say that. Hey, instead of just sending us a message, call into the show. Go ahead and patch Evan and Belt through to us here. Yeah, it's been a while since we've gotten a phone call from Evan and Belt. I enjoy getting his messages on the Montana Talks app, but even better to get a chance to hear it in person here with a phone call. Evan, thanks for calling in. Yeah, great call.
Yeah, Aaron, good morning. I just thought I'd call in and share a little bit on my thoughts of why I feel that way. I think, man, anytime you have folks wanting to put men and women's locker rooms to the government shutdown, and man, I could go on and on and on, but they just totally seem like they don't have any brains in their head anymore at this point.
Well, I actually wish that was the case. I wish this was a case of ignorance, and maybe for some of their supporters, maybe for some of their voters, it's just a case of of ignorance. They believe all the stuff that gets put out there. They believe the fake news media. But I think for these folks, these elected Democrats that are doing this, they know very well what they are doing, and they are trying to destroy this country and transform it into something else. And they're trying to bring about, you know, the socialism and the communism that the commie mom Donnie has pledged that he wants to bring to New York City. That's what they want to do to the entire United States of America.
Yeah, and I you know, taking a look at that, I totally agree with that, too. You know, even the shutdown, Aaron, I think they have it planned. It was in the cards that way, and I think that they'll probably pull that off again. In one party says they're stupid, but yes, I think they're just like what you just said. I think they just totally want to shut down the government. I think they totally want to turn us into a communist state. And, Aaron, there's been too darn many good people that have died and to keep our country free, and we should not let them down.
That's right. You know, case in point, yeah, your comments remind me of a story that caught my eye in the Daily Caller earlier this morning. So, Evan, would you agree with me? The Democrat Party, they absolutely loved the COVID lockdowns and the COVID mandates. They wanted to keep it going, but they loved those lockdowns and those mandates in the year 2020 in particular. Why? Because they wanted to destroy the great economy that President Trump built. And that's why they wanted to lock everything down, was to destroy the economy Trump built. There's a pollster by the name of Matt Towery who said last night that Democrats are they've been deliberately triggering the government shutdown in part to sabotage President Trump's economic record. And I think he's spot on. I think that's exactly why they wanted the government shutdown to continue, because they want to sabotage the American economy, because they want to sabotage Trump.
100% agree. You know, I think that's their whole ideal, Aaron, is they just they're in it to completely tear down this country and to turn us into, oh, basically the Soviet Union or China or whatever you might want to say, but it hasn't worked, and we just got to continue the fight.
That's right. 30 seconds to go before our next break. Evan, anything else you want to share with folks across Montana?
No, just have a great day today. I think keep your heads up, and kind of like Sean Hannity says, let not your heart be troubled, and just keep pressing on with that. I'm going to enjoy the day. I'm going to go out and do some fishing.
Hey, that sounds, man, I got one of my friends at Brett's RV messaged me, too. He's going out fishing, and he invited me, and I'm like, oh, man, oh, shoot, if I was closer by, I would join you for that one for sure, because he knows where the big ones are at, which I can't share with you guys over the radio, of course, and you would know why there, right, Evan? So you probably can't share where you're going fishing either.
No, not today.
Not today. That's right. Not today, Satan. Not today. I'm not telling you where my fishing holes are at. All right, Evan, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Back after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Violent crime has plunged in Chicago since Donald Trump launched Operation Midway Blitz. The president declared victory after a weeks-long showdown with his pro-sanctuary Democratic governor, J.B. Pritzker, and Mayor Brandon Johnson. And he pointed out, I am proud to announce that Chicago, Illinois, despite all the radical opposition and obstruction we have from the mayor and the governor, has seen car theft, shootings, robberies, violent crime, and everything else drop dramatically. He said since the launch of Operation Midway, shootings are down 35%, robberies are down 41%, carjackings are down almost 50%. And as we ramp up assets, these numbers will continue to drop, just like it worked in Washington, D.C.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
We are seeing something really disturbing. Anti-Semitism on the rise. College campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world, around the world. Sadly, right here in America, you know, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel. Israelis murdered on October 7th, murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please donate generously, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or ifcj.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with mild to high temperatures approaching the mid-60s for Bozeman and could even touch that 70 mark for Billings. Then for tonight, under increasing cloud cover, overnight lows in the mid-40s for Bozeman, lower 50s for Billings, with a chance for some rain for Bozeman Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Legendary Montana General Dale Stovall recognized by President Trump during his Veteran Day remarks on Tuesday. Hey, you got to check this out. Retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Stovall now lives in Missoula. He was a Jolly Green rescue pilot back in Vietnam. Eventually served as the deputy commander of JSOC. Full video of President Trump recognizing this Montana veteran on Veterans Day. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great. Getting so many great phone calls here in this 6 o'clock hour of the show. Let me do a quick calendar recon for you here. See, oh, man, yeah, I think David Noble, some of you are probably having withdrawals because you had such a great week last week. You got to have the great David Noble in the house every single day of the week. I'm hoping. I think he'll be with us coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. He typically joins us every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But, man, he's got a busy day job as an attorney, and he was so gracious to cover down all week last week on the show. So I always tell him, like, hey, man, if you can't join us, like, we would appreciate any time you're ever able to join us on the show. But if you're busy with your day job, totally understand. But we'll see. I think he should be with us coming up here in just a few minutes. So that'll be a ton of fun. We can cover all sorts of big topics of the day. One of the things I was going to hold on to for the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we were talking briefly about the Schumer shutdown and the Democrat Party government shutdown. Well, Stephen Miller just unloaded on the Democrats. Basically, they caused all this harm for the American people. They caused all this chaos. And for what? The Democrats got nothing. One thing that John Jackson, the Joker from X, mentioned yesterday is, okay, so the Democrats shut down the government, and for what? What did they get out of it? And we were talking about how, well, basically what they got was a gigantic spotlight on how unaffordable the so-called Affordable Care Act is and what a train wreck Obamacare is. But the other thing that they put a spotlight on is food stamps. And food stamp fraud. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins was on with Laura Ingraham last night and laid out just some of the shocking, well, maybe not so shocking, numbers about the amount of food stamp fraud in America.
It's pretty remarkable, and let me level set us for just a minute. It's so great to be on and talk about this, and it's funny. I think, well, funny is probably not the right word, but I do think what the Democrats did not include in their calculation in their insane government shutdown was the fact that this spotlight was going to be shined upon one of their favorite government welfare programs that under Joe Biden increased 40%. Where all that money went, trying to buy elections, we're not 100% sure, but we're rolling it back now. On day one, back in February, for me, we sent a letter to every governor saying, send us your SNAP data. All of this money that the federal government, the taxpayers are paying for food stamps, we don't even know where it goes, what happens, what they're doing with it. And we said no more. So 29 states complied and 20 plus others did not. And we're suing. We're in litigation right now. But of the 29 that complied, what we have found is staggering. 500,000 people getting benefits two times under the same name. 5,000 dead people. 80% of the able-bodied Americans, meaning they can work, they don't have small children at home, they're not taking care of an elderly parent, they can work and they choose not to work, of course, because they're getting significant benefits from the taxpayer. So this light, Laura, that has now been shined on what is perhaps one of the most corrupt, dysfunctional programs in American history, that we are working now. Very big announcements coming next week on this. We are cracking down. We now have a plan to fix it, and we're really, really excited about doing that for the American people.
All right. Can't wait to hear the details on that front. I'm sure David Noble would be pleased with that story as well. Hey, let me tell you about a high-caliber team. If you're looking for emergency plumbing services, or if you've got a construction project and you need some plumbing work done there, or maybe you're one of those folks that as we get closer and closer to the very cold weather, imagine never running out of hot water for your shower. Or imagine having heated floors. Well, our friends at High Caliber Plumbing can do all the above. Ron Gunn, veteran-owned business, High Caliber Plumbing. I would also add, if you're somebody who is a journeyman plumber and you'd like to work in the Billings, Red Lodge, Columbus areas, get a hold of Ron Gunn and his crew at High Caliber Plumbing, because they're hiring right now. They've got such a rock and roll team going right now that they're looking to expand their team. You can find more information, get a hold of them, go to highcaliberplumbing.com, highcaliberplumbing.com. The numbers on the government shutdown, we'll get to that more next.
I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.